Hey, first thing I'd like to do is say thank you for taking time out of your day. And thanks to John for the invitation to participate. Let me ask you a question. If we can spend a little bit of time together and I can make you a more effective communicator in the eyes and ears of your clients, is that a good day? Show of hands. Awesome. So over the next 4.5 hours, I know, we don't have that kind of time. But I do want to talk about, just to set the table for New Word Order. I mean, language is important, and you're going to see that today. But what I'd like to do is start with a little story, if I could. A couple of years ago, I was doing a meeting similar to this, only instead of a great university, I had to have this meeting at a golf course. And so we were setting up, and the room that we were presenting in overlooked the golf course and the driving range and practice facility. And so a couple of advisors got to the meeting, as they're prone to do. They got there a little early, and they were watching kids outside hit golf ball after golf ball. And they were just mesmerized, because these were incredible swings that they were seeing. And one guy just stands there, and he's like, man, look at the way these guys hit the ball. I wish my kids took to the game the way these kids take to the game. I mean, the form is amazing. The distance is phenomenal. And he's standing there, and he looks out, and he said, I bet somewhere out there is the next Tiger Woods. And the advisor standing 4 feet away from him looked him in the eye, and he said, I hope not. Now, I'm not here to disparage Tiger Woods, but what I do want to talk about is the emotion with which we attach the words that we use. There is an emotion to everything that we say that gets picked up on by your clients. And it can be the difference between success and not succeeding. So if you don't remember one single thing that I tell you today, it's this. Words matter. It's not what you say. It's what people hear. Okay? It's not what you say. It's what people hear. And how did we come to this? The largest, most comprehensive research study in financial services, bar none. Okay, what I'm going to share with you today is not Invesco's opinion. It's not conjecture. It's not supposition. It is backed up by research, which is another reason when John asked me to present this material, he said to me, hey, just send over the presentation. I can't. I can't send it to John. I can't send it to you. I invite you to take some copious notes, because you'll never see this, because it is steeped in such proprietary research. And where did we get the research from? Anybody a fan of Frank Luntz? You see him all over the place, most notably. You'll start seeing him a lot now that apparently we have a bit of a contentious debt ceiling debate, which is topic for another meeting. But these are some of the shows. Maslansky, Luntz, and Partners are the consultants. And basically, Frank Luntz, and I'm going to show you a clip of how he does what he does. But it started in the political arena. And what we said was, could you bring this research to financial services? And they agreed to do it. So with that, I'm going to just show you a little bit of how Frank Luntz works his magic.
No one has imported the techniques and philosophy of market research into politics more successfully than Frank Luntz.
80% of our life is emotion, and only 20% is intellect. I am much more interested in how you feel than how you think.
Tonight, Luntz's client is not a candidate, but a Florida utility wanting to build public support for a change in how it's regulated on the environment.
I know that the public is very down on corporate America in general, and they're down on power companies. So what is the language, what is the information, what are the facts, what are the figures that would get Americans to say, you know what, my electricity company, it's okay.
21st century technology, 1, 2, 3, 4. 21st century approach.
Luntz's specialty is testing language, finding words that work.
Integrity, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Reliability, there's the other one. If an electric company can demonstrate accountability, responsibility, and reliability when it comes to the environment, will that make you feel better about them?
Yes.
It's an art that even his political opponents grudgingly admire.
Frank Luntz doesn't do issues. He does language around issues. He figures out what words will best sell an issue. And he polls them, and he tests them, and he focus groups them, and he comes up issue by issue with how to talk about it and how not to talk about it.
You're going to use these to register whether you agree or disagree, whether you believe or disbelieve. The dials go from 0 to 100.
I'm wondering if you have land which has no fossil fuels associated with it.
To get at his subjects' gut feelings, Luntz has them register their moment-by-moment responses to a speech by a power company executive. Republicans are on the red line and Democrats on the green. Luntz is watching for both sides to meet in an emotional crescendo.
Change fuels, there would be a number of things that are available.
Climbing, changing fuels. Bingo, look, phasing out of older official plants. He's now up into the mid to upper 70s with that. You're replacing the bad with the good. It's almost like in with the good air, out with the bad. That might be an analogy that we might want to try instead of the automobile analogy. This is going to work. Watch. This will work.
Technology such as hydroelectric power, wind energy, geothermal energy, nuclear energy.
Check it. I told you. The words work. The words apply to the policy. This is how we're going to sell it. Look at this. Hold it. Stop.
By the end of his session, Luntz thinks he's found the language his client can use to create a groundswell of public support.
And I'll be able to walk to this electricity company on Monday and be able to say to them, your policy makes sense, and here's the language to explain it. That was the eureka moment when I watched people nod their heads, I watched them look to each other, and they were willing at this point to fight for this position.
Journalist Nicholas Lemon wrote a profile of Luntz in the New Yorker magazine called The Word Lab. He described how Luntz once turned public opinion simply by replacing the name estate tax with the more emotionally charged death tax.
The right name makes the policy sell better. It's just like putting a name on a bar of soap or any other commercial product. It matters what you name things.
It matters what you name things. Every developed nation in the world has an estate tax. One has a death tax. One. So, what we did was we incorporated that technology that you saw there. We went to market insiders at insurance companies. We went to senior executives. We went to compliance, of all people, to look at the language that is used in the marketing content that your clients see every single day. And then we did dial sessions, anonymous, simultaneous. And how these dial sessions work, if you saw in the video, what you're looking for is to measure the response. So if you get to 50 on the response, that means the client or the participant is acknowledging you. As it climbs, that means that they are more accepting. What I'm talking about today is not rocket science. But here's the thing. In the work that you do, you have competing priorities. And over time, what happens is some of the things that you know to be true get brushed aside. So we're going to take them out in the light of day. We're going to dust them off. And I assure you, you will be able to go back to your offices today. And this is why I'm so proud of this material, is you'll be able to go back today and implement some of these things. And finally, it's not conjecture, speculation. The one thing that we do in all of this research that I think is the most important, it's validate the language that we're all using through national survey. Okay, what did we learn from all this? I'm going to share with you four communication principles today. Now, before I do that, here comes the audience participation part. When you came back from break, you saw that there's a packet of cards on your chair. And if they aren't right there readily available, there are some close, so just let people know. The hardest thing you will do today, and I apologize in advance, is open that pack of cards. I don't know how they do it. I don't know if it's the Keebler elves or what the deal is, but it is kind of hard to open. And I apologize since we don't have space in front of us. What I'd like you to do is go through the cards. And the words that you think are appropriate to use with clients, keep them face up. And the words that you think are ineffective, face down. So what we call words to use, face up. Words to lose, face down. We doing okay so far? Still trying to get those open? I know, it's ridiculous. Okay, the first communication principle, what I'm going to do is take you through these four, what's in, what's out. What is out is fear and guilt-based selling. I'm not saying anybody in this room uses fear and guilt-based selling, but let's be honest, there was a time in the insurance business where perhaps it was used more than not. What's in? Positive and hopeful messages. Getting back to days gone by in the insurance business, fear and guilt-based selling, it worked something like this. The insurance agent walked into the home of a young family. Mrs. Jones, you have such a lovely home. I see the picture on the mantle of your two children. What a beautiful family you have. I just have one question for you. If your husband gets hit by a milk truck, how are you going to raise these kids? Sign here. So, what we want are positive and hopeful messages. Now, what I'm going to do, just so you get a benchmark, is I'm going to show you a clip of the way perhaps we don't want to go. And remember, in these dial sessions, anything 50 and above is positive.
We all hope that the market does well during our retirement. But what if you retire right at the beginning of a long bear market? In order to get the returns you want, you will have to leave your money in the market until it turns around. It could be 2 years or 10 years, but until it turns, your quality of life in retirement, unfortunately, can suffer at the whims of the market. Annuities can protect you against that risk.
Okay, can anybody tell me? You can just shout it out. I apologize, I don't have any Skittles or anything to throw you for getting this right. But can anybody tell me the word that he used that sent this conversation in the wrong direction? Have to. That's not it, but thank you for being the first one to step up. All right, we'll cut to the chase. The answer was bear market. Okay, he starts, we all hope that we don't suffer through a bear market, and then he just clubs it over the head with, your money might suffer the whims of the market, you might have to keep it in forever, and it was just downhill from there. So, first card exercise. Making sure you have enough money for as long as you live, managing longevity risk, which just rolls off the tongue, right? So, here's the thing. When you're talking to clients, and again, this is a study of language, being a more effective communicator. Do you talk about managing market risk? I think as an advisor, you have to. 37% of your clients hear the message. When you talk about making sure you can participate in gains while reducing your risk. Again, you're getting to the same place, just with different words. 63% hear the message. Managing inflation risk. Now, this was a big one. Everybody's talked about the bond bubble. And so if you have clients that are sitting on a significant holding in fixed income, you know, you're having these conversations about managing inflation risk and what that could do to the portfolio. 19% of the people that you're talking to listen. When you talk about making sure you can afford to maintain your lifestyle, look at this, 81% of the people hear your message. Again, I submit to you, when you are a more effective communicator, here's what happens. The barriers to suggestion and implementation of a strategy come down. Which is what you want, right? And then finally, managing longevity risk. 10% of the people hear your message. Making sure you have enough money for as long as you live. 90%. So if you said making sure you have enough money for as long as you live, winner, winner. Okay, in the interest of time, I'm going to go through some of these pretty quickly. Which of the following do you least like to pay as an investor? What we focus grouped was fees, and we found that clients don't like fees, even though you talk about maybe a fee-based arrangement that you have, but you have to be mindful of the fact that your clients are paying ATM fees, baggage fees, miscellaneous fees, green fees, if they're lucky. So you want to talk about the cost of doing business. Okay, minimize my losses. Who thinks this is the way to go? Show of hands. maximize my gains. Who's not going to raise their hand no matter what I ask you? There you go. Fantastic. Okay, look at this. Maximize my gains. People know they have to grow the asset. Which of the following worries you more? Losing money in a down market? Now, I know this is becoming less commonplace because, you know, since 2009, we're up 193% off the bottom of some number like that, not having enough money to retire. You know, a question that I ask a lot of senior citizens that I work with through advisors, I said, you know, when you see other people your age at Walgreens, McDonald's, are they working because they want to, because they want that socialization, they want to talk to people all the time? Or are they working because they have to, because they mismanage some decisions in retirement? You're the key to that, by the way. So this is an exercise I'd like you to visualize. You're up here, you're me, and you're talking to a group of prospective clients. And when you're talking about managing longevity risk, 10% of the audience hear your message. So, I mean, 1 in 10 as a potential new client, pretty good, I guess. But when you talk about making sure you have enough money for as long as you live, 90% hear the message. Think about that closure rate in terms of new clients and acquisition. Okay, I promise you, this is not my house. What's out? Models, mansions, and superlatives. What's in? Plausible, incredible message. When it comes to retirement, my top priority is, let's take a look. Dream retirement. What's interesting about dream retirement is when we focus group dream retirement, people said, you know, based on everything that I read about, that I see in the news, that I feel, a dream retirement is virtually impossible. Current lifestyle, comfortable retirement. The interesting thing, when you talk to your clients about retiring, they have no idea what it looks like. What they want to be able to do is do what they do today, a year from now. Do what they do a year from now, 3 years from now, and 5 years and 10. That's how they measure retirement. They don't see themselves playing golf every day. They don't see themselves owning a vineyard. In retirement, I want security or freedom. Let's take a look. In 07, security was the winner. And look what happened in 09. Now, what's interesting is it grew in 2011. What's interesting about these measurements, prior to 9/11, they were completely opposite. Everybody dreamed big, and it was there for the taking. But after that, the world changed, and it became an issue of security and comfort. Okay, if your financial advisor recommends you put your entire portfolio into an investment strategy, what are the odds? 50-50. You took your shot, right? However, if you just replace that entire with this phrase, a portion of your asset. Look at that. And see, the compelling thing about this is when you recommend a strategy for a portion of the client's assets and they see that strategy start to work, the portions just get bigger. Which is most appealing to you? Works as advertised. People have had it with new and improved, because ultimately, new and improved isn't so new, and it really doesn't work. This is interesting. Are guarantees plausible? I know a lot of this content is driven towards the variable annuity marketplace, but this is really relevant to any strategy that you're talking about. But with reference to the guarantee, we focus grouped this, and the two things that stood out, client said, I don't know. What about pilots' pensions? They were guaranteed. Didn't seem to work out. And, oh, what was that other one? Real estate always goes up. Don't talk about guarantees except to each other, because your clients don't believe they're plausible. They don't believe they exist. So guaranteed minimum income, protected lifetime income, protected lifetime income. As we go through the rest of this presentation, there is a word that I will say over and over and over again, and you should too. Protection, protection, protection. Which of the following attributes of a variable annuity would you like to learn more about? Protected growth benefit. Now I'm going to rip through some of these. I apologize. This is interesting, though, because as advisors, you've had all of us in your office at one time or another that have talked about these attributes of our respective companies. Hey, we're 200 years old. Hey, we've got a gazillion assets under management. Hey, we're AAA rated. Nobody's AAA rated anymore, not even the United States. This is what everyone's focused on. But what's interesting about this is when we focus group diversified, clients don't know what it means. They just know and feel that they need it. And then obviously as the markets have changed and everything's gone on, that don't worry disclaimer that you see there has gotten longer and longer. So, again, you're me. Potential clients are in the audience. You talk about financial freedom, 15% hear your message. Financial security, much bigger. Much bigger audience. Okay, now we're going to have some fun. The Finglish Challenge, 24 investors in Chicago. Publicly approved literature, again, that you put in front of clients every day. And something for their effort.
We're here in the heart of the Windy City to play the Finglish Challenge to see if investors understand the financial English we use with them every day. Variable annuity.
When you take a CD out or...
Where I'd be making a percentage of the amount of money that I'd put in the bank.
Variable could be 1% or 15%.
Step-up benefit.
Have the slightest idea what it is.
That means as profits change, you get the daily profit.
Is that aerobics?
Guaranteed minimum death benefit.
You're only going to get the lowest amount of benefit guaranteed.
That's an insurance term. The least amount you would get at the death of myself.
Something happens to me, my husband gets a death benefit, so...
It changes. Yes.
It changes.
Yeah.
Guaranteed minimum withdrawal benefit.
Well, that's a loaded term.
I have to withdraw a certain amount in order to get the benefit.
Thank you. That wasn't even close.
I have no clue.
I think it's sort of a double negative withdrawn benefit.
Transparent fees.
That's a very good question also. I'm not sure.
Hidden fees?
Transparent fees are ones that are not given to you and that... My understanding is that, for example, a transparent fee might be part of a mutual fund's expenses or costs that they don't tell you about.
The amount of money you get back for your annuity. All right.
Longevity risk.
In my money over time, what is the risk to that money?
I guess you have to determine how long you're going to live and how you would invest your money.
Oh, my God.
You live too long.
Risk concerning how long you will live.
Some of this stuff is intuitive, man. Really.
So, let me ask you. Did they have a firm grasp of the concepts? I see these nodding heads. No way. So, if they don't understand it, why do we continually throw it in front of them thinking they understand it? So, here's the next principle. Jargon for sophistication. Now, I don't know exactly where this came from, but we have a hunch that this was out of the proliferation of the wirehouse generation, where if I use really big words and sophisticated conversation, I let you know how little you know about the business and how much you need me. And so what's in is plain English for simplification. Which is most appealing? What's interesting about this, you look at automatic monthly investment. We focus group dollar cost averaging and we ask clients their understanding of it. And what they said to us was, I don't know, what's the average cost of a dollar? Okay, investment income, retirement paycheck. You hear this conversation quite a bit. Okay, nest egg. A lot of people use this. Please don't. Because the feedback that we've got from your clients is, it's a little demeaning how you call my life's work and savings an egg. Retirement paycheck. I had an advisor, I was actually in a meeting with one of his clients and the guy scratched his head, the client. He said, well, if I'm retired, why do I have to earn a paycheck? Something to think about. Again, it's not what you say, it's what they hear. And then finally, investment income. It's an investment. Treat it as such. A lot of conversation around not correlated to the market. There's that D word again, diversify. Long-term strategy, short-term strategy. I think you know where this is going. Short term, not so good. Recovery, you know, that's not an effective term. Opportunistic. Clients don't want opportunistic. What they're telling you of late is it's not return on my money, it's return of my money. Long term. Which conservative investment is most appealing? You got it. I heard it out there. Reliable. The word I use is fatigue. Your clients have it. To some degree, you all have it. And it's understandable. Investment strategies, investment opportunities. You'll hear me talk whenever I'm with my clients, your clients. I talk about strategies versus anything else. And here's why. What we focus group with everything else, especially solutions, because a lot of advisors use the solution word. When clients hear solution, they think of one thing that they can do to fix their problem. And the only problem with that solution is that if it doesn't work, they're damaged, you're fired, and we're back to the drawing board. Strategy evokes a long-term view that can be changed as circumstances require. So I submit to you a much more effective term, strategy. Based on the variable annuity terms below. Ratchet benefit, I can get that at the hardware store. Reset, is that like a mulligan? Step up, I do that at the gym. Protected growth benefit. If your goal is to raise funds, what do you want your money to do? I had an advisor in Kansas City tell me, he goes, if I'm getting milk from the cow, I want a big cow. I didn't know what that meant. He goes, I want the money to grow. What kind of fee arrangements? Clear, straightforward. I mean, transparent evokes straightforward, but just too many people using transparent these days. When using charts and hypos and illustrations, it's not show and tell, it's tell and show. Okay, finally, not correlated to the market. 2% of the audience will hear your message when you talk about diversified. 60% of the room, here's what you say. And then, again, more fun. Choose your words carefully. Anybody know Shrannon? Our consulting group calls it the language of teens because there are 340 words in it. French, parlez-vous français? 100,000 words. Sprechen Sie Deutsch? And then finally, this is why it's so hard to communicate in our business. English, 500,000 ways to put your foot in your mouth. From an airline in Copenhagen, this is the translation. We take your bags and we send them in all directions. That's confidence. Tell me if you haven't had days like this, right? It's just so confusing. And then finally, from a menu at a Swiss restaurant, our wines leave you nothing to hope for. I'm taking my wife there. And then finally, an advertisement from Thailand. If your boss or your significant other, your spouse isn't already doing this, would you like to ride on your own? Okay, finally, and in the interest of time, I just want to share this last one with you because this is relatively new and this came out of the financial crisis. Generic conversations are out. Cookie cutter stuff doesn't work for your clients. They want personalized benefits. It's not about this. It's not about your features and who you are and how awesome you are and what you know. It's about the benefit to the client. Make me understand why I should be with you. Last video I'll share with you.
Before we figure out what to do with your investments, we should talk about the impact of last year's performance and of the financial crisis on your goals and your attitude towards investing. Does it change anything? And if so, what does it change? The first question is whether your personal situation has changed. I would really appreciate it if you would tell me about your current situation with work and whether the economy has impacted you in other ways I might not know about. We should discuss what your goals are today and how they might have changed since we last talked about them.
You saw how that was climbing and climbing. It resonates very highly. Okay, which of the following statements do you want to hear as the client? In the interest of time, I'll bust right through these. Your current situation, what's unique to you that I need to know about? Which advisor would you prefer? I had this conversation last night at dinner. You know, you can be the greatest advisor on earth, first to Google, first to Apple, first to Tesla, whatever the stock, whatever the bond, whatever the strategy. But if your clients can't get a hold of you and there's no connection there, they're not your clients for long. Look at that. Gladly give up 2% for a conversation. Okay, how likely are you to put your portfolio into a product? What it does, what it is. When you talk about what it is, you know, and I suppose if you're selling annuities or other insurance products, a 47% closure rate is fantastic, unless you want to hire one. Then you talk about what it does. Look at that, 94%. I've seen it. I saw an advisor sit down with a client, and he talked about what it does, and the client said, fine, signed it. And he goes, well, don't you want to know what it is? And he's like, no, that's why I have you. Think about that. Knowledgeable and experienced. I do want to share this with you, and I might be running low on time, but experienced, let me tell you a funny story. My wife is an experienced driver. She's wrecked every car we've ever owned. Knowledgeable. You hold yourself out as knowledgeable. And what does knowledgeable mean? It means that you have the ability to understand unique situations. Okay? It's important. Cookie cutters out. Interest you more, guaranteed income, protected growth. Again, protection, protection, protection. Okay, finally, when you talk about what it is, there's your audience. Not bad. When you talk about what it does, the whole room hears you. Okay, if you like what you saw today, and I hope that you did, and I'll give each of you my boss's email address, I'm going to be sending some information to John that he'll make available to you, or I can give it to you directly. It's a word card, Guide to Mutual Understanding. If everybody's got a pen in the room, here's my email address. It is Fred, F-R-E-D, dot, Lasser, L-A-S-S-A-R, at Invesco.com. If you would like the word card or any information about what we do at Invesco, feel free to email me. Let me be a resource to you. Obviously, we have a lot of funds, but that's a conversation for another time. I highly recommend you go out on Amazon and get The Language of Trust, Selling Ideas in a World of Skeptics by Mike Maslansky and our own consultant group. And then finally this. It's easy to make investing look hard, right? We've learned from day one. It's the words we use, the training that we got. I submit to you, it's hard to make it look easy. I hope I've been helpful, and I hope that what I've been able to do is give you some tools to make it look easier. And with that, I thank you very much.